So, you know what's been pretty interesting? I find it interesting. I think maybe you guys have too. It's been pretty cool to have like all the people from all around the world coming in here for the World Cup. I've been enjoying it. I actually have. I'm running into a lot of people, talking to some people, just seeing all the different people from all the different countries coming in. Because, you know, I guess the last time it was in the United States, it wasn't in Philadelphia at all. So we got a chance to host, what, four games, something like that. The last one was last night. And you can see people coming from all over, and they come with their pride and their come to support their countries. And it's really interesting, I thought it was, that so many have come from other countries, and they're really loving the United States. They really are. They're really enjoying the United States. They're being welcomed everywhere. I haven't really heard of any real incidences. They're negative, you know. I've seen a lot of positive incidences. But, you know, for those of us who live down here, you know, we're in the shadows of the stadiums. You got a chance to see people, you know, that from different countries. And you can you know, recognize when they're here. They're just visiting and so forth. But it's cool because citizens from other countries have all come in to visit us, to go see their teams, and when they're here, they're having a good time and enjoying it and rooting their team on, and some go home a little sadder because their team lost, and others are still hanging around because their team's still in it, you know. But all these different citizens have come from all over the world, and they're really enjoying their time together. And the word or the term or the topic of citizenship is a really hot topic in our society today. It's been for a number of years, but it's been growing, and it's on the news all the time of what actually makes someone a citizen of this country, and what does that really mean, and whether or not you agree with the Supreme Court's ruling that came out a couple weeks ago, or you don't, or where you stand politically on this subject. The reality is that citizenship is part of our world. People are citizens of a country, of a place. They're citizens of the United States, or they're visiting here and they're citizens of another country and are just here temporarily, you know, on a visa, or they want to become a citizen here. But the idea of citizenship is a big deal. It really is. And in the United States, this idea of citizenship is interesting, and that's part of what the Supreme Court ruling about. And by the way, this is not going to be a civics lesson or a political message. It's not, but I just need to set the table a minute about citizenship. You know, in this country, you can become a citizen just because you're born in this country. And most of us, not all of us, that are citizens here today, that's what happened with us. We were born here. And when we were born here, we became citizens of the United States of America. Some of us were citizens, but we were born abroad, but because our parents were citizens, then we automatically are citizens. Some people, you know, came in then other ways through immigration, and they went through the process, hopefully through the, you know, the proper process, the legal process of applying and, you know, getting legal status, and then doing whatever's required to become citizens, you know, through the naturalization process, which takes some time for somebody to become a citizen. You have to at least be 18. You have to live in the country for at least 5 years. 3 years, I think, if you're married to somebody, you know, you have to be here continuously. You have to have a good moral character, whatever that means. You have to pass a background check. You have to learn the English language. You have to take a civics test, you know, regarding the, you know, history and this government. And eventually, if you pass all that and you get that far, you take an oath of allegiance to this country. You become a citizen. And when you become a citizen, you have the rights immediately given to you. You have those rights, just like if you were born here. Those rights are yours. Rights to vote, free speech, you know, to get a U.S. passport, you know. But with those rights that come, there come responsibilities. Like, you get the wonderful privilege of paying taxes. Isn't that a good one? We love it. You get the beautiful, wonderful duty of serving on a jury and jury duty. I told you before, I get that all the time, more than anybody. Mario never still told me why I get called so much. You should know, Mario. I get called more than any person I ever know. They must love me or something. I don't know. I'm on somebody's lists. But you get, you know, there's responsibilities when you're here. You know, you have to follow the laws. You have other things that you're supposed to do. But when we talk about citizenship, we have to recognize that from the very beginning, the framers of the country, you know, the founders of the country, they had this very strong idea of what it meant to be a citizen. And they looked at it as much more than just a legal status. In fact, if you look at many of the writings of the, you know, the original framers of the Constitution and this country, they use words like it's a sacred responsibility. You know, where the ones who are citizens, you know, it's demanded of them civic virtue to have a shared national unity and the same kind of goal and direction, you know, going forward. Though they recognize that people had different backgrounds, once they came here, they should have a national identity as Americans, you know, as U.S. citizens, and have the goals and the aspirations of what this country stands for. And the idea of citizenship by the original, you know, founders was one that they considered citizenship the highest title you can have, higher than any political office, higher than presidency. George Washington was, you know, and he wanted to go back when he only served the two terms and set that precedent. He wanted to go back just to be a citizen, and that was a high calling. That wasn't just like, I'm taking the demotion now, I'm just going to be just a citizen. See, we look at it that way. Oh, we look at all the hierarchies, and they're this and then the other thing, and we're just citizens. No, the idea of citizenship was the highest title. In fact, Ronald Reagan, when he left office, said this, but he was only echoing what many before him said, including the founders, but it was echoed through the 250 years of our country. This is what he said when he left office. He said, "I will lay down my official responsibilities in this office to take up once again the only title in our democracy superior to that of president, the title of citizen." That's how important they look at citizenship. It's a big deal. And if you're a citizen of this country or another country, you know, you legally belong to that country, and you have the rights and the protections of that country, and you have the responsibilities to go along with it. And when you come into a new country and you are a citizen of that country, especially, you want to, even though you know, look, one of the things that makes this country great is you can come from other countries and you can bring your cultures and bring all your different things to this country. That's great. You can still do that. But you still then should have an identity that is different. And you want to assimilate to the degree of being a citizen of the United States, because that's now to the country to whom you belong. But this is not a message about citizenship of the country, or it's not a political message about what really makes a citizen and all the things that go on today about that hot topic. It's really about citizenship that's much more important than citizenship to a country. A lot of people, everybody in this world is a citizen of somewhere, and that's important to that degree. But regardless of what country you are a citizen of, you need to recognize that there's a citizenship that's much more important. And the way that the Bible looks at it, ultimately, by the way, you know, there's a lot of people out today, and I'll touch on this again a little bit in a few minutes, but there's a lot of people today that want no citizenship. You know, I don't get that, by the way. I don't know how that works, okay? I don't know how you can have no borders, no citizenship. I don't know how that works, but there's a lot of people out there that at least vocally, you know, want that to take place. But we see even in the Bible there were countries and there's some places and people were citizens, you know, through whatever the country might be. And but from the biblical standpoint, there's really only two citizenships that really matter. And this matters: are you a citizen of just this earth, planet Earth, or are you a citizen of heaven? That's really what matters. And that's the type of citizenship we want to talk about this morning. If you are just a citizen of this world, by the way, when we're born into this country or whatever, you become a citizen in the U.S., but you automatically, anybody, no matter where you're born, whatever country you're born into, yeah, you become a citizen in that country, but you're automatically born into becoming a citizen of the planet Earth. In that way, we're all either citizens of Earth or citizens of heaven, but we're all born into being citizens of planet Earth, and if you are still a citizen only of planet Earth, then this is what is going on with you right now if you were trying to figure this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, talking about those who are just citizens of this earth alone, it says, "In whom the God," little g, "of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them." Because Paul is making a case here and making us understand that those that are just citizens of this world are now under this world system. They've been blinded to the fact that even know and realize that there is a different citizenship that they can obtain. See, and when someone is just a citizen of this world, of which we all are born into, we recognize that we become part of this world and we want to follow the practices and the culture of this world system. And that's why John says to those who are not part of this system or this citizenship any longer, this world, he says to those who have found a different citizenship, he says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things of the world in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if you are today strictly a citizen of the earth, forget your national citizenship, but you're a citizen of this earth, then you may not realize, but you are a slave. The Bible says in Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, again, if you're part of this world, you're obeying this world system, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So in this world, our minds are darkened, our hearts are darkened. We will literally blindly follow Satan in his desire to bring everybody from this world and as citizens of this world to another dominion where you don't have any citizenship at all, but it is a complete place of destruction, a complete place of separation from God and his kingdom. That's his desire. And if you stay in that state as citizens of this world, you will end up separated from God. But the Bible talks about in Philippians 3 what that is like. He says here, Paul, to the church in Philippi and to us today, for many, verse 18, walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Citizens of earth who are only citizens of earth live for only one thing, this world, themselves and this world, and whatever pleasure they can derive out of being a citizen of this world, and they live by the value systems of this world. Paul goes so far as to say those who are that way, those who are only citizens of this world and have not become citizens of heaven, then he says that they are actually the enemies of the cross. They're enemies. They are against everything that God stands for, that the cross stands for. And Paul had to contend, and we have to contend with people like this who thought that their salvation, if there is salvation, if they thought that they have a need for salvation, but if they're looking for heavenly things, because a lot of people, listen, you can talk to anybody you want, regardless of what their spiritual condition is, then if they have anything in belief in them at all of an afterlife, you will say to them, well, if there's an afterlife, if there's a good place and a bad place, if there's a heaven, if there's a hell, where do you want to go? And the vast majority are going to say, of course I'll go to heaven. Who wouldn't want to go to a place where it's wonderful and great as opposed to a place of torment? But the people of this world blindly are following a system that are going to take everybody who stays in that system and stays with that citizenship to this place of destruction, and they're blindly following that, and Paul says they are enemies of the cross. If they think that there's any other way they can change their citizenship status, they are enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the biblical truth of what Jesus came to do for us. He says that he's weeping. He says, I tell you, weeping. So anybody who tries to tell us that we can change our citizenship status into something different and become citizens of heaven another way, and then they're just lying to you. They're enemies of the cross. And their minds are only set on earthly things. See, to become a citizen in the way we're talking about citizenship, a citizen either of a different country in this world. See, when somebody comes to the United States and they want to come into the United States and become a citizen, there's an intentionality on their point. They don't just come here for vacation and all of a sudden they become a citizen or they say, oh, yeah. No, there's an intentionality. Oh, I want to go to the United States and I want to do what is required of me to change my citizenship from my country of birth, my country of origin, to become a citizen now of the United States of America. They make an intentional choice to do that. And when they make that intentional choice to do that, they realize that this is there's these requirements. See, and when Paul says somebody now makes an intentional decision to become a citizen of heaven, he says this to them in Philippians, the same chapter I was reading, but now in verse 20, he says to those who are no longer citizens just of this earth, who have become citizens of heaven, have made that intentional choice, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, back in that day when Paul was writing to this church, the history tells us, if you know a little bit about the history of the people in Philippi, they were Roman citizens, though they were far from Rome. And they met all the requirements when Rome bestowed citizenship or allowed citizenship to the people in Philippi. They gladly received it. They were thrilled about having it. They were just bubbling over with joy that they can say, we are Roman citizens. They took it so highly. And as Paul says here, that they became citizenship. They were citizens now of Rome, even though they were living far away from Rome. And they would eagerly await any opportunity to prove themselves worthy of the citizenship they have to Caesar, to Rome. They would love to have him visit them. They would love Rome. In fact, one of the titles of the Caesars that happened around like 40, 50 A.D. early on, when they became emperors there, it was with the title of Lord and Savior. They bestowed that upon the Caesars. They are Lord and Savior, and they would eagerly in Philippi wait for the Roman emperor to come. And if he would come and visit us, our Lord and Savior, we would eagerly and wonderfully show him how grateful we are to be citizens and what great citizens we are of Rome. That was the desire of their heart. So when Paul would say something like this to them, he's saying, listen, you may be citizens of Rome, and as eagerly as you have accepted that citizenship and as much as you want to rejoice in that citizenship and show Rome how thankful you are for that citizenship, you have a new citizenship now. Yeah, you're still Roman citizens on this earth, but your status has been changed. You're now a citizen of heaven. There's a paraphrase of this verse that says it this way. Just as the Roman colonists never forgot that they belonged to Rome, you must never forget that you are citizens of heaven, and your conduct must match your citizenship. See, if we are citizens of heaven now, and we'll talk about that again in a few moments, if we are citizens, if you can claim and say today, rightfully, that you are a citizen of heaven, that means that you are no longer a citizen of this earth. You have rescinded that. You have said, I'm turning away from that. I am not an earthly citizen anymore. I am a citizen of heaven. And if you're a citizen in heaven while you're still living here, you know what that makes you? An alien. You are. You're an alien to this world that you live in now. You're not a citizen here anymore. See, if you go to another country, you're an alien. People that come over here, that's why we have that term, illegal alien. They're coming in illegal. They're aliens here. You could be a legal alien, or you could be an illegal alien. But if you're not a citizen of the United States, you are an alien. And over behind me right now, they're showing spaceships, and they're showing, okay. Not that kind of alien. I'm talking about an alien, meaning not a citizen of a particular country. But we recognize here that if we are now citizens of heaven, we are aliens on this planet now. And for aliens on this planet, one of the things we have to do is recognize that as aliens, if you go to a foreign country and you're an alien in that country, you're just going there to visit or whatever, maybe you're working there for a while, you want to go there and you want to do the right thing there. You want to make sure that you kind of follow their laws and their practices. You want to kind of not cause problems and cause trouble there. And the thing is, now that we're on this earth, we want to be able to live in this earth, and we want to show the fact that we want to do good while we're down here. We have so many privileges and rights now as children of heaven, but we actually have obligations as children of heaven to live down here a certain way. We have to live differently now that we're in this world. See, and as citizens of heaven and no longer citizens of this earth, as we're aliens here, we actually don't follow the same reward system that the people of this planet still follow. the things of this world that should have made us really happy to get all the things of this world and all the accolades and all of the things we can get down. And all of a sudden we say, that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. It really is not that important anymore. I don't need the recognition of this world anymore. It's no longer my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. See, and one thing aliens should never do when they go to a country where they're just visiting or residing for a period of time is they should never make this their permanent home, because they're not here. They're not citizens. They have a home. Now, I'm not talking politically. I'm just understand what I'm trying to say. The goal is when you're here for a period of time, this is where you, now you may have a beautiful home while you're here. You may be here for many years, but you still know, well, wait a minute, I have a citizenship somewhere else. So as a citizen of heaven, we realize that while we're here on this earth, we have to follow the rules down here. But the rules that we follow down here, I'm talking about the government rules. We have to abide by the rules of the land, things like that. But we realize, though, that we're no longer subject to those rules alone, those laws alone. So, for example, in the United States, we are told that we, by the Bible, that we should follow the laws of this land. But if they start making laws that are contrary to God's word, then we can say, with all authority, no, I will not do that because I follow a higher law now. So if your law of this land contradicts the law of God, I will choose to follow the law of God. And we can say that because we're no longer citizens here. We're citizens of heaven. And because of that, ultimately, we're going to share heaven's honors. See, ultimately, though you might have a nice, beautiful home down here, or you make a nice apartment or place wherever you lay your head, and you say, oh, this is my home here, you realize that this is not, you really don't own what you have down here. You have property rights in heaven. That's where we have real ownership. And so Jesus said, don't get too attached to down here. You know, what you have down here, all these things you have, you know, don't count all your treasures down here. Store up your treasures in heaven. That's really where your home is. That's where you live. So we can be here and we can be in this world and follow the customs of this world and things of this world to the degree where they don't change who we are as heavenly citizens. And we can be here as part of this world still, but we still have a greater attachment to our citizenship in heaven. We should automatically, upon receiving citizenship in the heaven, long to go home. And we should keep in touch with home. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he prayed daily to his Father, regularly to his Father in heaven. We should be having communication with heaven all the time, our native home. Now, see, when Jesus was on the earth, he told us a lot about what citizenship in heaven is like. You know, one of the things he talked about was a parable, and he said the parable is about the wheat and the tares. And he said, when the wheat and the tares are growing up in the ground, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference until they're harvested. In the same way, when we're on this earth and we become a citizen of heaven, the world, and even like to our eyes, we kind of look the same. Well, I don't know, but I remember when I got saved in my living room and I asked Jesus into my heart. I mean, this glowing halo came over me and my whole body was shimmering. And I walked out and people said, look at that one. No, that didn't happen. Meg said, get up here, put the kids to bed. The outside, nothing really changed. But all of a sudden, at that moment, I was no longer a citizen of this earth. I was immediately now a citizen of heaven, though I looked the same outwardly. Nobody could tell the difference. But inside, something was going on. There was a change, a real change. Not only of my ultimate destination, but God was doing something in me. So when we on the outside don't look different, there are ways that people should see some difference in us. We should start to be looking different from the inside out and acting different. See, one of the things that I'm going to show you both sides of it, and you guys, most of you guys know this, but I'm going to show you both sides of it. If you've ever traveled abroad and you're from the United States, we think we're all cool because we everywhere we go is the United States. That's what we think. Everywhere's the United States. But when we go out there, everybody goes, look, the Americans. They just say, that's the Americans. They look at them, the Americans. Right? They do. They spot us a mile away. But in the same way, when people came into the country just now for the World Cup, though we have a lot of people from other nations here as, you know, residents or aliens, some have become citizens and so forth, you can see the ones that just came in just to visit for the World Cup. Not that they look different. They look like people, and they had soccer jerseys on. Some did something different. But you could tell because they were looking around and just looking around like this, you know, and they're in the supermarket, and they may be speaking a different language. And I'm going up to them, and, it was really cool because it's so funny. You know, South Philly's crazy. But, you know, I'm watching them walking there, and people going, yo, Ecuador, you know, Paraguay. People are crazy, but they were talking with them, and they were trying to get past the language barrier, you know? They were doing this, and it was kind of cool. But the thing is, we still look like human beings. But there is a difference, right? And when we become citizens of heaven, we still look the same on the outside, the wheat and the tares, but there's something different about us. There's something different that's going on. See? See, when we come to, when we become a citizen of heaven, it happens on in a very certain, distinct way, and we become new creatures. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We become His temple. The Holy Spirit begins to transform us. See, in the next verse says here, in verse 21 of Philippians 3, he says that we will eagerly await our Savior Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. So here they were in Philippi, Roman citizens, so thrilled to be Roman citizens. Oh, we can't wait till Caesar visits us one day so we can show him how grateful we are that we're Roman citizens and how great of citizens we are, that we are the best Roman citizens out there. We can't wait for that. Well, guess what? As Christians, we should be eagerly awaiting the Lord's return for us. And in the meantime, live the way He called us to live. But then we know that He's coming one day to take this body and change it. See, Jesus, when He died on the cross, remember, Jesus was fully God, but He became fully man, fully flesh. But when He died on the cross, that was a body. That was a human body. It was a regular human body. He had no sin. He was different that way, but He was human. And when He went to the cross and He bled and He died, He bled, He died. He suffered physically. That body was broken, beaten to a pulp. And then that body went into the ground for 3 days. And on the third day, when the stone was rolled away and He came forth victorious, He had the same body, but it was made brand new. Still kept the scars, right? But it was a glorified body. In a similar way, not exactly the same, but in a similar way, the Bible tells us that we who now become citizens of heaven, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and one day He's going to change this body, this actual body, into a glorified body by which we will spend eternity. But in the meantime, He's doing some work inside, getting us ready for this new body, changing us moment by moment as a citizen of heaven to become more like Jesus Christ, so that one day when He comes to take our lowly bodies and transform us into this glorious body, that work had already begun within us already. So when you and I are struggling sometimes and saying, okay, I am a citizen of heaven and I want to conduct myself as a citizen of heaven, how do I do that? And we find ourselves struggling like the Apostle Paul. They would say, I want to live like a good citizen of heaven, but I'm always not getting it right, and I'm sometimes doing the wrong things, but I want to do the right things and I'm having trouble doing the right things. We can say, Lord Jesus, help me to live for You, because You're able to subdue all things to Yourself. So by the power of God in me, I am Your child. I'm a citizen of heaven. Help me now to live as a citizen by Your power. You can subdue all things to Yourself, even my sin, even my old habits of my old culture, my old ways as an earth being. I want to live as a heavenly being now. Help me to do that. Help me to have a desire to live in such a way that I am a stranger and a pilgrim here and now, but I want to please you in all things and live according to heavenly dictates by I'm still living in this world. And I want to be able to like the saints of God all through the age who lived in this world as pilgrims, but I was yearning for and hoping for and waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. So the question is, how do you become a citizen of heaven? Now, most of you will say, I know this already, and you do. And maybe, though, some need to hear it again. Somebody that you're going to share this message with is going to need to hear this. Somebody who is here today may need to hear it again today. But if you heard this before and you are a citizen, you need to hear it again. One, to thank the Lord again and again and again. But also, you may need a refresher course to tell other people that they need to become citizens of heaven. Now, I'll tell you why. And this is where the political of the day meets the eternity of God's word. There are those, as I said earlier, who believe that countries should not have any borders, that countries should not have any citizenship. They're a small group, but they're a very vocal group. But they actually believe this. I don't even logically know how that would even work. But set that aside for a moment. I want to remind you of something, that countries exist today with borders. And there's certain ways to get in. Heaven has borders. The kingdom of heaven has borders. And unlike the borders in this earth, you can't sneak into it. You can't. You cannot sneak into it. You can't. There's only one way into heaven. Only one way in to the kingdom of God. Only one. And that is to go the way he has prescribed. Now, the thing about it is in heaven, with the borders all around it, and it's very clearly defined, by the way. Jesus said, outside are the murderers and the dogs and the things. And he said, they're outside. They can't get in. But though there are borders around heaven, he's opened the opportunity for citizenship to anybody who would want to come. But you got to come his way. That's the only way. And I thought about this as I was thinking about the politics of this day, and I think about those people that want the anarchy in the world today, and I thought it was just maybe a political or a movement. And I said, no, really, that's what Satan wants us to think. That there's no requirements for anything. We could just have borders go anywhere you want. Well, guess what? That would relate that, well, then we could all go to heaven anytime we want, any way we want, because we're no borders. There's borders in heaven. But you can go. And you can get in. And Jesus wants you to come in. He doesn't have borders to keep you out. He has borders to keep out the evil. He has borders so that it can truly be heaven. But he's made a way. And he's made a way. If you're born in the United States, you become a citizen just by being born here. You can't be born naturally into heaven. That's why Jesus said to get to heaven, to become a citizen of heaven, you must be born again. You must experience a new birth. Now, when people come to this country, there is an immigration fee and the things they have to go through. Sometimes you get attorneys, there's costs that have to be paid. Well, guess what? There's a cost to get into heaven too, but you don't have to pay it. Jesus paid it all for you. So here he is, here's God saying, yes, there is out there available to you, if you intentionally want to have it, a citizenship in heaven. But you can't come and climb in over the walls. You can't come in mass and storm the walls to get in. You can't sneak underground to get in. But I want you to come, but you have to come my way and you have to pay the price, but you can't do it, so I paid it for you. And I paid the price with my blood on the cross. And if you come and receive that price of my forgiveness, and you're washed and cleansed, and you now have can pass the background check. Remember, it's a background check. We can't pass it, but if you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and our sins are washed away, we can pass God's requirements of background check, because now he's washed our sin away. And upon that receiving, our receiving of that, we're born again into the kingdom, and we become citizens of God. Citizens of heaven, I should say. And it's not by ourselves, Ephesians 2, right? It's by grace we are saved, not of ourselves. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God that we cannot boast. And then when you're born again, the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:13 that he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. So where are you a citizen of? Yes, U.S. or some other country. But are you a citizen of the earth on the way to eternal perdition and destruction? Or are you a citizen of heaven? If you're a citizen of heaven already, this message should now get you to be rejoicing in your newfound or your found citizenship and renew your desire to live for him, to please him like they wanted to please the emperor, and thank him for your citizenship and tell others about, listen, you want to become a citizen? You can. But if you don't, you can make that choice too, but it's going to lead to destruction eternally. It's going to lead to hell. And if you're hearing this today and you've never accepted Christ, now is the time to become a citizen of heaven. It's open to you. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Me, I could care less of what you're a citizen of the United States or not. For this message, I could care less. As long as you become a citizen of heaven. Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out and they were able to do all the miracles and everything and they came back all excited. We cast out demons. We healed this thing. He says, don't rejoice because of all that stuff. Rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's all that really matters. So come, become a citizen. And if you are a citizen, rejoice in your citizenship and tell others about the way they can become a citizen of heaven also and live for the King right now. Father, thank you for this reminder of the importance of citizenship. It's more important than we realize. And Lord, I do pray for those that are citizens of this world now. Regardless of what national citizenship they carry, they're earthly. They're earthly beings alone. They're just earthy of this world. And Father, if they don't change their status, they will leave this world and go to a place where they're, Lord, I guess we could say there's really no borders there. They just go. They just empty into it. And it's a place called hell, a place called destruction. But we heard today, Lord God, that there's another type of citizenship that is available to any of us who want it. And it's a citizenship in heaven. And you want us to come. But you want us to come your way, because that's the only way. You said anybody else who comes over the wall the other way is a thief and a robber. But you know your sheep, and you let them in, because it comes through you alone. So, Father, I pray for the church that has already received citizenship, who we are of the hour. Then we can say our citizenship is in heaven. And let us now renew ourselves to live as citizens of heaven while we're still aliens on this earth. Let us point the way to others so that they could receive their citizenship, Lord God. Let us represent you well, and let us keep our minds on heaven as we live down here to serve others and to serve you, our King, and to show you even in this world how thankful we are to be citizens of heaven. And Lord, if there's anyone here in this building or anyone listening in, anyone that we may meet later, Lord God, that we would get up on the subject of citizenship of heaven. Lord, let them know now that you want them to come in. And let them know that it's available to them. They can apply for citizenship right now. But there's just one way. They must first accept the payment for themselves of your shed blood. They need to come and reject and renounce the citizenship of this world and say, I want to be a citizen of heaven. And they would come and repent of their sin and be washed and cleansed by your blood. And that price that was paid would now make them eligible for the kingdom of God. And then, Lord, at that moment, they will be born again into your kingdom and become citizens. And then they'll have the privilege of being a child of God and doing like us, living for you and telling others about you. So, Lord, we're just looking forward to the new citizens that will come into the kingdom. And we'll welcome them in, Lord God, as you would welcome in, as all the angels of heaven will welcome them in. But, Lord God, we want to keep doing this work of citizens as resident aliens while we're on this planet until you call us to be home. So let us continue to strive to tell others about the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we love you and thank you, Jesus.